This is Blockbuster Nostalgia, brought to you by People's Choice Video. People's Choice Video, your local 90s video store, renting, selling, buying, trading, games, movies, adult titles, everything you need.
The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
Hey Blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1980s one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And we are back today with another recap episode, hitting you with them fast hits.
Counting down to the final four, but right now we're revisiting the movies that we already talked about.
We're revisiting some of these classic films one last time before we say bye-bye to the 80s forever and finally move on to modern times, the 1990s.
Just like we did 30 years ago
in real life. That's right.
Yep.
So we're going to start off with a true 80s classic. This is Ghostbusters Part 2.
This is an underrated movie because I fucking love this
movie. This is a strangely underrated movie. I didn't realize it until I got the internet. I always thought we all agreed this movie was fucking great. Yeah,
exactly. Like, this movie, they show that shit all the time on Showtime and all that stuff, and everything was great. But no, people like hate this movie, or at least hated this movie.
It got really bad reviews. It got bad reviews, and it does seem like there's still a lot of people out there making YouTube videos about how this movie's bad.
It's behind like 45 movies from the, or like 50 movies from the other one, from the first one. So that's how little money it made compared to the first one. That transfers over like people not liking it and like reviews and stuff. But goddamn, is this movie great.
Yeah, very good movie.
Viggo the Carpathian, come on.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, you know, like Viggo and fucking Peter McNichol as Viggo's right-hand man.
He's like his Renfield in this, and he's also the Renfield in Dracula Dead and Loving It.
That's true. He's a Renfield he's a motherfucker. Renfield.
Yeah, Viggo. Also,
his whole deal is just wanting to bang Sigourney Weaver. Yeah. Which is also Bill Murray's whole deal, so you know.
So I can't blame him that much.
Because we love Bill Murray.
Exactly. I was like, well, if I was cool with Bill Murray doing it in the beginning.
Yeah,
in the first one.
And in this one, too.
Yeah. This also has Oscar, the baby, who I think tragically died, right?
Oh, I think you're right, yeah.
As like a 22-year-old fucking kid. I don't know. But as a baby, it's good. Good job, Oscar.
Yeah. Good job being a baby.
Yeah.
Way to sit in a crib and every once in a while give a reaction shot when I assume they shot you for 3 to 7 hours
of just
to
reaction
get that
shots.
one second. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. No, it's a very fucking fun movie. It's got the slime in it. Good slime and bad slime.
It's got a lot of slime. It's got a fucking
walking Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty gets down to some old classic R&B.
Yeah.
You know Dan Aykroyd was just jizzing himself about that.
Oh, my God. And walks through New York, smashing cop cars and shit like that, and then uses all the power of the good. I don't remember even how. I mean, I remember
well, because they get
they
all
spray
the people.
It down.
They, and well, and then they get the people. They get the that new
That's
New York,
right.
Of course, famous for its positive attitude about everything.
Yeah,
and they get all the people with that R&B music to get it on.
There's it's like a, I don't know if you remember this. This was a while back. This is
so they play "Let's Get It On" by Marvin Gaye, and then all of New York starts fucking.
Oh, well, the Statue of Liberty fucks
all that
big
fuck
museum.
Energy.
Yeah,
all that fuck energy
Fucker
powers
G.
the Statue of Liberty, who goes totally nudes, which we've all wanted to see.
She's French.
How have you ever
you know that, right?
Yeah, I mean you know that, but also I mean you've seen the Statue of Liberty. The minute you see it, you're like, I wonder what that's like when she drops that fucking toga.
Yeah,
that she's rocking.
Yeah, you know, I always thought the Statue of Liberty was kind of manly looking.
You're crazy.
And they look androgynous-y. That could have been a guy.
You're crazy. Look at that figure.
The French could have sent a guy as a joke.
Oh, did they send
like,
a tranny?
This is a guy
they
in drag.
They sent a tranny fucking
there's a guy in drag.
The Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with that. Also, we don't know if it's a transsexual person or just a person that associates as a woman, but has you know was born with male physical aspects. We don't know that. It's not our place. But I'm just saying.
I feel like you're deliberately attacking my sexual fetish for the Statue of Liberty, and I don't like it. I don't like it, and
strong
I don't appreciate
chin.
It.
All I'm saying is strong chin. Handsome woman. How about that?
She has a strong chin because it's literally carved out of stone, okay?
All right. Yeah, that's true. She's also like bringing in all the immigrants and being like, yeah.
I mean, I assume, though, that under that toga, that body's be rocking.
Again, she's French. You know that. There's going to be a lot of body hair.
There's going to be a lot of body hair. Fair enough. Yeah. But she's been living in America for a long time. Eventually, you grow accustomed to the new surroundings, you know?
Sure.
But it's also 1980s, so a lot of body hair, probably. Yeah.
Either way, even if she wasn't French, a lot of body hair. It's that full 80s, 80s way to go.
Although, at least by the 80s, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, designs.
Yeah, exactly.
So if there's an American flag rocking in that down there, I'm in.
It's good, yeah.
I'm in, yeah.
Rick Moranis gets laid in this one.
Oh, yeah, Rick Moranis, and also the hilarious, the fact that she now all of a sudden is like the cartoon character, yes. Which she is not at all like in the first movie.
So we talked about
this. It's hilarious.
In the first one, she's a secretary. Then the cartoon came out and it was a huge hit. So then they're like, we have to make a second one.
We gotta dye your hair and give you new glasses.
We gotta make you like the ridiculous cartoon version of you.
That's
and that's
right.
What they did. Also, makes her hotter. Also, Rick Moranis bangs her.
Gets it in.
Yeah. Which is fucking great because it's the hottest of the Janines.
Yeah.
And also, while they're banging, a baby gets stolen. Which is like, you know, pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good banging.
That's pretty good banging when a baby gets stolen. I mean, usually it's pretty good banging when a baby gets created, but stolen even better.
So yeah, and it also gets stolen by a weird old lady, Peter McNichol.
That's true. comes down out of the sky. Yeah.
And puts a baby in a ghost baby carriage and then floats the baby away.
It's very good.
It's really cool. See, listen to what I just said and then be like, no, that movie's stupid. No, it's
that movie's great. Yeah,
and then Viggo the Carpathian, obviously.
I mean, it ends with them fucking being in a Renaissance-style painting, but it's the Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
How can you hate that?
Oh, man. I really, really love the Ghostbusters sequel.
Yeah, they're both. I mean, obviously, the first one's great, too.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Ghostbusters Part 2. Ghostbusters 3, we'll see. Expectations not high.
It's little kids now and all that shit.
Yeah. Expectations not
high. We already saw the Ghostbusters remake, and, you know,
well,
that was all right.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Funny.
It's hilarious to me that people responded to the Ghostbusters remake with like, no, we don't want this. We want the original Ghostbusters. Like, okay, we hear you. Original Ghostbusters. How about that kid for Stranger Things, though? Let's just make a movie about him and a lady.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, this is even funnier because they were like, all right, we're going to make a new Ghostbusters. And everybody's like, we want the original Ghostbusters. And they're like, no. You know what? We're making Lady Ghostbusters. And they're like, no, fuck your fucking face.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, all right, how about this? Kid Ghostbusters. Are they dudes? Yeah, they're mostly men. Yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, sure, let's do that.
My response is still, where's Bill Murray? He's not in the trailer. Harold Ramis is not going to be in the trailer.
Bill Murray was in the reboot.
He was, yeah,
and that
was
not good either.
But Dan Aykroyd also not in the trailer.
That's true. But again, Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd don't make a good movie because they were both in the fucking reboot, and that was not that good.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Yeah, that's what you get, internet trolls. You got Bill Murray and you got Dan Aykroyd in there.
Yeah.
Now you get no Bill Murray and don't know Dan Aykroyd, but you have to like it because it's not just chicks.
Because it's not just chicks. Yeah. Even though clearly the main character is a chick.
Yeah, the main character is a chick. But it's a Stranger Things chick. So
and
right.
Well, and she's clearly Egon's kid. She's clearly Egon's kid, right?
Yeah.
Like we're 100% cool agree. Yeah.
I hope there's a bit where they go through Egon's closet and the first thing is like a KKK robe. But then they're like, no. And then they're like, oh, Ghostbusters, Rob. Let's talk about this one instead.
Yeah. That would be very good. Or it's just a series. It's like KKK, Nazi uniform. Yeah. Just like all these terrible things. And then maybe, finally they get to the Ghostbusters one.
Like, oh, he's probably like a
weird
costume
gimp outfit.
Yeah.
Let's not do actually, that one.
That's probably more topical if it was like a weird gimp sex outfit. And they're like, oh, yeah, weird. No, he's probably super into costumes. And they're like, Ghostbusters, no, that's a real Ghostbusters.
That's a real one, though. Oh, not wow, a costume. Cool. Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, this shit up.
Anyway.
How has Paul Rudd looked exactly the same for 20 years? Anyway, we're not talking about that.
No.
Speaking of, though, I guess aging, it's Big.
Next movie, Big.
Tom Hanks. Oh, plays a small child that becomes a large man.
He wishes to be bigger and he becomes,
because he wants to ride a roller coaster and kiss a girl.
Yeah, that's all he wants.
Which we all been there,
but
I also want to ride a roller coaster right now and I would like to kiss a girl.
That would be nice. In typical wish fashion, be careful what you wish for. You gotta be super specific with it, man.
Because not only does he become big, but he becomes a 30-year-old Tom Hanks.
Yeah, but he gets laid.
He does get laid, actually. All right. Which, as a 13-year-old, the fact that he gets laid, pretty fucking baller.
It's funny. It's a thing where it's okay for that to happen. Like, it's okay for a 13-year-old and a grown-ass body to get some pussy.
Yeah.
it's okay for a child man elf, Will Ferrell.
Oh, elf Will Ferrell, sure, sure.
To get some pussy.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. You flip that shit around.
Not okay.
Not okay. Yep. Not okay. Well, Little had a lot of jokes about that. Where she gets trapped in like
And she's trying to hit on that teacher. She's trying to hit on
the teacher, yeah. And everybody's like, that's super fucking creepy.
Yeah, and like, the teacher's like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. But no, this is, he wishes, he wakes up, there's a lot of really funny bits, but...
Speaking of Little, this is a movie that's been remade a lot. Yeah.
But I do think that, this was an Erica episode.
Yes, because a lot of her Tom Hanks love.
Yeah, her love package. For Tom Hanks. And for like a kid coming out of nowhere, becoming like a big deal. But we did come up with the best fucking theory in this movie.
Oh, about his friend.
Which is his friend is the backwards guy. His he used to be a full grown guy.
Who wished to be younger. Yeah.
And then became a young guy.
Which is why he knows everything.
He knows everything. He's wandering around New York on his own.
That's right. Totally fine.
Totally fine in the middle of the night.
He hooks him up with an apartment. He gets him a job. Yeah, the whole
exactly.
thing.
It was a cool revelation. That was a cool thing to figure out. To finally realize.
Yeah.
But there's also taps, right?
There is. Yeah. Well, he plays the piano with his feet.
With his feet. And that's how he gets the boss to love him.
To love him, right. And also because he doesn't look at these toys as just merchandise. He understands why kids want to play with
toys.
Why
is a building a robot? Why not a big space bug a robot?
Exactly.
And they're like, harumph, what? No, we know what
we're talking
about.
Market research has shown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't. He's like, nah, let's make it a big bug thing.
It is hilarious to me that despite... When you think about, I guess, Hollywood, you think they're generally liberal. I don't like to make generalizations, but generally liberal,
well,
right?
We saw the Oscars.
And there's a whole thing about them being like pro-scientist, and yet every single movie has a bunch of scientists being like, well, we've done research, and this is what it is. And every single time, the hero's like, no, that's fucking bullshit, and the hero is right.
Yeah, because of his heart.
Because of his heart, exactly.
Because of his heart and magic powers.
And magic powers, and being a small child.
You can't deny magic powers.
You can't deny magic powers.
Be it big, be it teen wolf.
Yeah, be it a teenage
zapped.
Wolf.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or being it a be teenage it hacker
Scott
or just
Baio
a,
being able to take girls' tops off with his eyes. Yeah, be it any of that. Like, they're like, no, magic powers.
Or just a cop that knows how the real world works.
Yeah, he's been around long enough.
And he knows that all your reports and your studies and your psychiatry don't mean shit when you have a bullet in your mouth.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's true. As much as they're like, no, against religion, pro-science, but they're like, no, scientists are the bad guys.
They're dumb. They're dumb, though, actually.
We got robot cops.
Yeah,
shit.
We got robot cops and that we fucking made. Muscle dudes that shoot people.
But you know what the difference is? The robot cop, he's got a heart.
He's got a heart.
He's got memories.
Because at the end of the day, he just loves his wife so much,
he's got to go back. Yeah, that's it's not even about the science anymore.
It's not even about the science, because at the end of the day, you know who he is? Murphy.
That's right. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. But this movie also has that weird, crazy side story that I hadn't thought about, which is that his mom thinks he's been kidnapped by
a thing that I never thought about as
a
child.
Because
when I was a kid, I'm watching this movie, I was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. You get to be like, well, I didn't say fuck back then because I was a child. Yeah. But
you get to
be
have like a Pepsi machine and he's on a trampoline.
His apartment's awesome. Yeah, it's like a trampoline. He's got a bunk bed.
He sleeps in the bunk beds. Yeah. And then he bangs a chick.
Well, and he bangs a chick.
He bangs a business lady.
A business lady.
The most unattainable of all ladies.
Right, you're not getting a business lady. I didn't even know any business ladies.
Who gets a business
lady? I grew up in a rural town.
There was 45 business guys trying to get business ladies.
That's right.
And they didn't get the business. There's also a handful of movies of that, of like young kids, like not young kids, but like guys trying to get with the business lady.
Sure.
And he gets a business lady.
Yeah. So at the time watching this movie, I was just like, wow, Tom Hanks. What awesome, like this whole thing, like how cool, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And then you don't even think, like his mom thinks, so
he's been kidnapped.
She doesn't wake up, but she's awake in the morning,
goes to his
calls her young son down, and an adult man in his her child's underwear comes out and is like, oh, it's me, and then runs out.
Away.
And she is losing her fucking mind. And then she gets a call like halfway through the movie where he's like, we have your son. He's fine.
Yeah.
Believe me, you can't talk to him though. Bye.
Don't call the police.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she has to live with this for like
this
6 months.
This is a fucking nightmare. Nightmare
like 6 months
situation.
She has to go through this shit. Well, he's banging
it's
it
up. It's a miracle that she is not completely broken by this experience.
Yeah. Yeah, she's in like fucking
strong woman.
Yeah, exactly.
You want strong woman characters? That's a strong woman character right there.
Yeah, and at the end, she's like, hey, you're back. And then, obviously, he's been raped several times.
And then,
times.
Obviously, he's like, yeah, so anyways, I'm going to try and date this 20-year-old. Yeah. So
I learned a lot while I was gone.
I learned a lot while I was kidnapped.
Yeah. Like, what happens after
he goes
that?
Back to school, every girl is, he's like, no, no, let me show you some stuff.
Yeah. Well, everybody would be like, weren't you kidnapped? Like, what happened? You've been gone for... I mean, she couldn't tell anybody, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm sure at that point, the cops knew. Like, people knew what...
Yeah,
like,
exactly,
was,
right? You don't just lose a kid.
Yeah. I mean, the school would have asked some questions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The truant officers would be around and asking you where your fucking kid is. At some point, they would be like, save Ferris Bueller's
thing. That's right. There's probably signs.
Yeah, looking for him. But no, yeah. He's like banging it out the business lady.
Just banging it out?
Yeah, no.
The fact that he doesn't stay either.
Yeah, he doesn't stay with the business lady.
Doesn't stay with the business lady.
I would have stayed with the business lady.
I mean, I would have probably gone back to being a kid.
You're right. That's a thing that we learned from this movie is that being an adult
fucking sucks. Exactly. You got to pay taxes.
Bills, taxes, yeah. Responsibilities. You got to bang the business lady, but not.
But then also go to her family's shitty dinner with shit food.
And then also like figure out whether or not you want to have kids. And then now you're dealing with that.
Oh.
So then now you have to worry about that
shit.
I just
want to go back to being a kid right
now. Want to have kids? Exactly. Yeah, no. So the lesson learned is that being an adult
just
fucking
be a kid.
Sucks. Yeah.
Be a kid.
Stay a kid.
Be a kid forever.
Good choice on him to go back and then pretend like he was in a fucking weird sex cult the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah. They're looking for full-grown him. And then 20 years later, all the posters are going to look exactly like him, of the guy that they were looking for.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's going to be a trippy.
It's going to be a weird, trippy thing, right?
You're going to be arrested for your own kidnapping 20 years later?
20 years later. Weird.
And he's like, no, I'm the kid. Look at my picture.
And they're like,
look at my ID.
And because it's the 80s, they're thinking like, this is 2005. So they're like, no, time travel clearly is a thing. So you clearly went back in time and kidnapped yourself.
Speaking of time travel, Back to the Future Part 2.
Back to the Future Part 2. Is that where we're up to?
That's where we're at.
All right.
So Back to the Future Part 2, obviously, it's Michael J. Fox. It's Christopher Lloyd. It's Robert Zemeckis.
It's the best of the Back to the Futures.
Ooh, hot take.
Yeah, there's 14 Jaws or whatever.
Yeah, there's 14 Jaws.
Yeah, there's the hoverboards. Come on, man.
I mean, there were
no hoverboards in the first one.
Oh, that's true. The hoverboards are very... It's the smartest... I don't want to say for sure, but for sure, it's the smartest sequel ever made.
Yeah, everything connects back to the first one.
In a very clever way.
In a very clever way. Everything even connects kind of to the third one, but everything like comes super awesome full circle.
This is also Robert Zemeckis before he decided everyone should be a weird CGI.
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Odd, weird, yeah, yeah, just terrible bullshit. People are doll people. People that look kind of like Steve Carell and Leslie Bibb.
Yeah, this also predicted a bunch of shit. Like 80s.
Like black people getting elected.
Yeah, exactly. Which was not a thing in the 50s.
Not a thing in the 50s at all.
Yeah. Hoverboards.
Hoverboards, yeah.
Obviously, we still have those now.
Yeah, of course.
Self-walking dog leashes.
Crystal Pepsi. Self-walking dogs.
Oh, the dehydrated pizza.
Dehydrated pizza. You know blow-up shoes.
Yeah. Oh, the
self-drying.
Self-drying clothing.
Yeah, self-drying clothing.
The shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know how you can...
Street toughs with baseball bats and...
The baseball bat that grows bigger
that grows
for some
bigger,
reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how you can go to the store right now and get a dehydrated pizza that turns into an extra large pizza?
And it's Pizza Hut brand, which is delicious.
Yeah, with Pizza Hut. And you know how the most popular of all pizza places, Pizza Hut?
I mean, I still like Pizza Hut. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that has survived all
that
this
has survived
time.
The longest, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it used to be like the sit-down pizza restaurant.
That's true.
But there's no such thing anymore.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can. I guess you can go and sit down to Papa John's and eat a pizza, but they'll ask you to leave.
But they'll tell you, like, you should go now.
They'll be
please,
like, "Don't
sir.
Please do not eat that here, sir. Please.
I don't want to hear the complaints after you've taken your first bite.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's Papa John's. Or you could send us free Papa John's and then we'll retract
our
statement.
We will say a lot of positive things about Papa John's, like their garlic butter is delicious.
Yeah, exactly. And
it covers up the bad pizza.
Yeah, it covers up the terrible pizza that you've paid too much money for.
Too much money, really. If you're going to spend that much, just go to a local pizza place.
Yeah, exactly. It also rightly predicted that we would all be watching 42 televisions at the same time.
It's true.
It's true.
I mean, in fairness, we basically do watch at least two televisions because every time exactly. But when your TV's on, your phone is also on and you're
But if
doing
you told
shit.
Them that back then, they'd be like, two televisions? No, 40 televisions,
yeah.
This is like the beginning of MTV and shit. Like, it's before that, but it's like, this is the beginning of TV obsession.
Right.
So like, 40 televisions.
And this is a thing that I do love. It's like in Demolition Man, where like you're still gonna have payphones, but they'll be video payphones. So that like they can't
We never thought that we would just have a phone in our hand
all the time. Yeah,
where like there'll always be payphones.
Yep,
there'll always be car phones,
but
yeah, there'll always be attached to the car,
attached to something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like just missing the mark on the
just there
on the right thing. No, this
Flea's in this movie.
Flea is in this movie. He's an executive.
Yeah, he's an exactly. First of all, it's weird that Flea's in a movie. It's also weird that they're like, hey, you know that weird guy that runs around with a fucking sock on his dick?
On his cock, yeah.
Yeah.
Playing bass?
I bet you that guy would be a good businessman.
No, future businessman.
Future businessman.
I mean,
we're in two ties.
I buy. Yeah, they wear two ties. They double up because how do you get classier than one tie?
Thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's two ties. It's I'm surprised they weren't funny. Video ties.
That's true.
If they had the technology,
like hologram ties.
If we had the technology back then, hologram it would have been video. Ties. It would have been hologram ties. Hologram ties. Yeah. No, this
actually
movie,
now I really just want a hologram tie, man.
Oh, it just projects
really
down from
cool.
the. Oh,
and then I could change it whenever.
Whenever you want. Or you can have it be patterns or movements and
shit.
Yeah. It just projects down from your collar.
It's like, do you ever see, they did a shitty anime version of the Count of Monte Cristo where all of the people's costumes were like these weird moving patterns because they did it with computers.
You could do that now with shoes. Yeah. There's shoes that do that now.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's just like an LED screen that's on your body.
Yeah.
Also, this has Biff becoming Trump.
This is right.
a fucking multimillionaire casino owning piece of garbage that becomes president of the world.
With a bimbo lady that hates his guts.
That hates his guts. Yeah, clearly. Yeah, becoming president of the fucking country.
Yep.
And everything goes to shit. This is.
In fairness, it worked out better in real life because we'd still at least.
We still have phones.
We have jobs and phones and stuff. Yeah.
We still have all the porn you can jerk off to.
Yeah, exactly.
Really.
So, really.
And you can get Popeyes like anywhere nowadays.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah. So.
Things are looking pretty up for us, actually, compared to Back in the Future
better
times.
Than the Biff,
yeah.
A lot better than the Biff timeline.
Luckily, there was a timeline change. So, yeah. We don't even know about it.
I like, remember the, this is one of my favorite bits, and we talk about this. It says the newspaper that shows like, local quack admitted to and it's Doc and him getting pulled into a thing, and then it changes to like local scientists give an award or something like that, and it's the same picture but he's shaking their hands instead of being like hauled off to the thing. And also, it's front page news.
We don't care about science.
It's ridiculous. Why would we put that on there? Scientists are lame.
Super lame.
Anyway, back to Future 2.
Also, local crackpot put in. That is a page
local
18.
Local crackpot admitted into.
That is a page 18 at best.
No front page.
No picture.
Local crackpot admitted into mental hospital. And it changes to local scientist giving award.
Yep.
Anyway, back to
Future 2. And also, what award was he getting? Was he getting the time travel award?
The science award.
Yeah. The yeah.
Yeah. Science, the award.
Science. Exclamation point, the award.
Also, his dad's dead in this one because they didn't want to work out the
pay him, yeah.
Yeah, because they didn't want to pay fucking Crispin Glover.
That's true.
So they use the back of his head.
Used a fake.
Yeah. For the brilliant recreation of the stuff from the first one, where you see all the stuff happen from the first one again, but future Marty McFly is in there. Ah, so good.
It is a very
It's
cool
a fucking
thing.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Oh, also, we do get old Marty McFly.
We do get old Marty and Lady Marty McFly, which is cool. But yes, we get very old Marty McFly in like fucking gray hair and
old,
having
old
childs.
People makeup and shit like that.
And he has a child. He has children.
He has a young Marty McFly who's his son. Because
who's
we
a
all
piece
know
of
that
shit.
You look exactly like your own dad.
Exactly. I mean,
speaking of looking old and being old.
And being old. On Golden Pond.
So more money than Back to the Future Part 2.
Let's consider this.
Yeah.
So obviously, I mean, you know, we're looking at this from our current day point of view. But If you would have told me that on Golden Pawn, a movie that I've thought about never,
exactly,
would have made more money than Back to the Future Part 2. A thing that I have watched, I don't know how many times, that is on TBS and TNT.
I think it's the best every day. Back to the Future. And one of the best 80s movies, I think.
And just on television every day.
Yeah. On Golden Pond made more money than Back to the Future Part 2.
Not a lot more, but a little bit.
But still more money. Yeah. And it was just on the power of everybody knowing that Henry Fonda and Jane Fonda didn't talk.
Right. They had and they were in a movie together.
And they were in a movie together.
Despite the fact that their relationship was...
Well, because Henry Fonda was like an old school fucking cowboy. Not a cowboy, but he played a lot of Westerns and stuff like that.
And he was an old school guy.
And then Jane Fonda was in the Viet Cong for a minute.
Right, exactly. Henry Fonda was an old school guy, meaning he did not have emotions or acknowledge them or acknowledge his children.
That's what he had whiskey for.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And she was a fucking hippie, communist sympathizer.
And he came from a time where you meet your dad when you're like 18.
Right.
And your dad shows up and he's like, Hey, guys, I'm your dad. I've been working this whole time.
You meet your dad, but it's like in passing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's just there like at 10 o'clock at night.
Exactly. You meet him, he kisses you on the forehead before you go to bed, and that's it.
Maybe
he gives you a firm handshake.
Yeah, exactly.
Depends on the dad.
This is a time where...
Maybe a pat on the head.
All you knew from your dad is walking out to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and it's just... like the TV screen on his face.
Right.
And that's all you know from your dad.
Maybe you see him on a Sunday and he's like, hey, I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
But here's a sody pop.
Exactly. But he's super serious about everything. So, you know, you don't like him. No, he's not fun. Not fun at all.
Your crazy commie friends that are doing drugs and passing around
doobies.
The devil's lettuce. Exactly. I was gonna say like sci-fi outfits, because you know she did the whole Barbarella thing.
She did do the Barbarella thing where we got to see some sexy body.
Yeah.
But anyway, in this one, it's just old man Henry Fonda.
Yeah, he's an old
him
guy.
Him and his wife are old men in a cabin
fishing and has a boat.
Yeah, he has a boat, and then she shows up, and then she hates him for a minute, but then doesn't hate him, but then she's dating our favorite guy.
He's great. I've always loved Dabney Coleman, but doing this podcast has really brought me to a new level.
We've seen him in like 9 movies, and God damn it, if he's not great in every single one of them. And he's great in this one, too. So they show up. Dabney Coleman has a son.
She has a son.
Sorry, she has a son. Dabney Coleman's the new dad.
Dabney Coleman's just getting it in.
Yeah, he's just getting it in. So they're like, hey, we're going to go to Europe. We're going to leave our son here with you. Anyway, bye. So then it's 94-year-old Henry Fonda and his wife.
And like 92-year-old Catherine Hepburn.
Catherine Hepburn watching over.
Who I love, by the way.
Oh, yeah. She's great in this. Watching over this 15-year-old kid who immediately is like, hey, I'm just going to fucking bounce out, guys.
I'm doing my own thing. It's cool.
I'm going to try to make out with some bitches over there by the bridge or whatever.
Exactly. I saw some 16-year-olds. I'm going to try and get it in.
I'm going to try to go ahead. And Henry Fonda was like, oh, no, you're not. We got board games to play.
Yeah, we got puzzles to do and fishing to do, which when you're 13 is the most fun thing, I'm sure.
Yeah. He also shows up looking like a 45-year-old Jeff Daniels.
That's true. That's true.
He really, like, his hair is like Jeff Daniels' hair. He's dressed in like a fucking sweater vest and slacks. Like, he's not dressed like a fucking 1980s 15-year-old.
No.
So then I feel like I would trust him. I'd be like, yeah.
He seems to know what's going on.
You're like 32 years old. You got this.
He seems to know.
You've been driving for 12 years. You know what's going on.
Yeah. He's fine.
Yeah. But no, instead, they force him to, you know, like hang out and fish.
And bond with his grandparents.
And bond with his grandparents.
Who he's never met before.
Yeah. It really is about Henry Fonda kind of like figuring out how to bond with a kid now that he's so old.
So the whole thing.
And also like making amends.
Because he was a shit idiot.
It also has a great performance from Jane Fonda, who was nominated. I mean, didn't win, but Henry Fonda won and Catherine Hepburn won.
Yeah.
Also, Catherine Hepburn wins just for the last 5 minutes of the movie.
Pretty much.
Which are a big fake out.
Yeah.
Which I was angry about. I remember being angry.
Yeah. Because you're like, oh, hey, finally a thing's happening.
And it doesn't happen.
It doesn't actually happen.
So they get in a boat. They crash the boat.
So they get in a boat. Obviously, you get in a boat. they fight pirates.
Yeah, there's a huge
fight with these pirates, and they get stabbed like 13 times, but he, with his bare hands, breaks the neck of 20 pirates.
Yeah, and then this, and is, Henry, just, this is 98-year-old Henry Fonda.
98-year-old Henry Fonda, and he's just like beating the shit, like just his bloody knuckles pounding into this dude's skull until it's just mush.
And the kid is like trying to like get the boat loose and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're like, wow, this is a fucking baller thing. And then guess who shows up? Dream sequence.
Fucking Katharine Hepburn shows up.
Yeah.
Katharine Hepburn shows up during the dream sequence with a flamethrower.
And she's naked.
And she's naked.
And she also has, but it's like, yeah, exactly.
But it's classy. It's fancy.
Exactly. They bring in young Katharine Hepburn. They had the technology to bring in her from like the 1940s.
Yeah.
Very sexy.
Yeah, it's just cut out of old film spools. Yes, but, you know, they still use it.
They still use it. It works.
Yeah.
It's clearly from another movie, but it's fine.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's why they got the Academy Award.
Except for Best Editing. They were
nominated for Best Picture, yeah.
Nominated for Best Special Effects for Katharine Hepburn nudity.
Yep. But no, Henry Fonda wins for Best Actor. She wins for Best Actress.
Yeah.
Jane Fonda gets nominated. Jane Fonda very clearly should have won, and then not the other people. I think she should have gotten the Academy Award, but
they're
maybe
old.
Not so much. But they're old, established fucking Hollywood actors. In 1981, they're close to death. You get the Academy Award.
That's what happens.
But then at the end, all of a sudden...
That's why the Academy Awards are a joke. Can we talk about how the Academy Awards are a joke?
Nah, let's not talk about that. Because I want to talk about Henry Fonda dying.
Okay, yeah, this movie? After he beats up the Vikings, actually, they're not even pirates now. They're Viking pirates. They're Vikings.
He's carrying plates, he drops the plates.
He drops plates. The you're thinking normal plates. These are Dragon Ball Z level plates. Collector's that weigh 100.
These are commemorative. He's a John F. Kennedy commemorative plates.
He's a closet otaku.
He falls down from a fucking heart attack, and then I was like, oh my God.
He's going to die.
Some shit is happening. Like, I've been watching this fucking character this whole time. I get an emotional payoff from this.
That's right.
Nope, it's a fake out.
He's fine.
He's just like, nah, I'm just kidding.
I mean, they goes to the river and maybe he dies, but maybe it's fine.
No, maybe he just sits there. He's probably fucking fine. Yeah, exactly. Maybe he sits there and makes more movies like Clint Eastwood.
I mean, I'm sorry. You want to see Henry Fonda die, you fucking monster?
Yeah, I do. Because, you know. He was mean to Jane Fonda.
He was a bad dad.
I was thinking about it today just because I was watching old people drive by. But
about how much you hate them?
Yeah, I do hate them a lot. Old white people, again, I've said this before, but the thing I hate the most. But they become more frowny as they get older, which is weird to me. I would think that they go the other way around.
Yeah, that's true. It's always my thing about driving, why they drive so slow, when if I was old, I would just be flooring it everywhere.
Exactly.
Fuck all y'all.
You're like, I got no time, man. I'm going to die. I could
die at any moment.
Any minute, I will fucking die. I got to get to wherever I'm going as fast as I possibly fucking can. But
the frowny thing makes sense, though, because I hate everything more and more every second.
Yeah, that's true. The older you get. But yeah. But I feel like you should be like, nah, that doesn't bother me. Like, it's letting shit go and stuff. But look at...
I mean, you should if you're a well-adjusted individual, but
yeah,
come on.
Look at Clint Eastwood in the Mule. The whole time he's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
All frown.
That's Clint Eastwood's face for the last 30 years.
For the last 30 years, that's true.
I don't know if you've noticed, but that's just what he looks like.
That's fair. He's just been one continuous frown. Clint Eastwood has been a frown for the last 30 years since fucking 1990.
But that's just what his face is.
I think it was that fucking Line of Duty or whatever. Or what was the one where he's a president?
The non-executive decision. What was it where it was like where Absolute Power?
It's Absolute Power was one of them. But other one.
Bloodwork? Was it Bloodworks or something like that?
That's one with his
Blood
son.
Proof? Yeah.
No, the one where he's the president's guard. John Malkovich is like the guy trying to kill the president.
Right.
In the Line of Duty. Or no,
Something like that. Yeah.
Something stupid like that. Yeah, look at that. That was 30 years ago. The frown.
It's
halfway through frown.
Yeah, he's
now full-on like frown. Crescent moon frown.
Yeah, especially, I mean, Gran Torino was like, 12 years ago or whatever? And he has not changed his expression since that movie, for sure.
Also, look at shit of him directing, and he's not changed his expression.
No.
It's just one big frown.
It would make me interested, because he's famous for just...
For like, shooting pucks in the face.
Yes. But from a director standpoint, like, he gets it and he goes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how could you ever know he's happy with your performance?
Yeah.
That's fine. We'll move on. And you're just like, what, is like it really though?
Toad level frown. Sure?
Yeah. And you're like, ah. And you're like, what is that?
He's just like, huh?
Can I do another take?
What?
It's like, hey, yeah, let's move on.
Nah. I think, you know what I think it comes with? It comes from? I think it comes from just not being able to see or hear anything. That could be. And you're just like, what? What? I don't, what? I don't understand. What is this light?
We're throwing a lot of shade.
What?
Even though the man just makes nothing but good movies.
I mean, not nothing but good movies.
I mean, nothing but
He makes
very good movies.
Yeah, he makes. Yeah, you're right.
Fair, like he's fair never. To good I don't know that he's ever made a bad movie as a director.
Yeah, that's true. That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah,
he's never.
Even
yeah.
even at his worst, it's like that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. He's still a competent director.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So we go on to Karate Kid Part 2.
Wow, there's a lot of sequels in this one. A
lot of sequels in this one.
Karate Kid Part 2. This is one where they go to Japan.
There's a famous sequel. Where young Daniel-san, so the first movie, he spends a lot of time hanging out with an old Japanese man learning karate.
Learning how to do karate because all he wants to do is karate.
He is karate,
become
right.
Become cool.
And so the whole thing is like, oh, he's very good at karate now. He can fight in karate tournaments.
Yeah.
The second movie, the plot of the second movie is people want to fight Mr. Miyagi in karate. And he's like, nah.
He does not. It's a movie about him not wanting to fight.
Right. So this is a movie that's supposed to appeal to kids about an old man not wanting to fight.
Another old man. This is Mr. Miyagi. This is like 72-year-old Mr. Miyagi
while
not
Daniel's
wanting to
son,
fight a 72-year-old Japanese guy.
Yeah, exactly. While Daniel's son leaves his, well, gets dumped and then goes to Japan and flirts with a girl that I don't know anything ever happens with.
No, also the guys that he's up against on this one, way fucking better
way
than
better
any of the
than
guys.
Johnny.
In, I mean, yeah, way better than Johnny.
Yeah.
Because he tries that stupid kick, and they're just
they're like,
"Get out of here!"
This is fucking bullshit. Yeah.
But even though we thought, when
no
done
can
correctly,
defend.
No can defend. Turns out, yes can defend.
Yes can defend.
This is
very funny. I posted some stuff on our Instagram, which follow our Instagram, Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Yeah,
we're tearing it up. But one of the other people that follow us commented that he's a military guy.
Yeah,
he was in a bar. I can't remember where he said. Somewhere in Asia. As a military guy, Marine guy,
yeah.
And somebody tried this move and got his shit kicked in.
Yeah,
and I was like, that sounds right.
Kick.
Yeah.
Also, the only way that this move works is if the other guy runs face first into the
right,
kick.
And does just, yeah, exactly.
Without his hands in front of his face or
yeah.
nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so yes, we learned that yes can defend.
This is also a thing I think we all knew because we all tried this at some point and it didn't work. It
obviously,
never worked.
Never works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I think that the biggest villain of all, like a typhoon or some shit.
Yeah, that's true. Well, because remember, there's like a little girl stuck out there in the typhoon.
Yeah,
and she's the bravest of all girls.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like a fucking Miyazaki main character.
It's like there's like a little girl like warning everybody.
Exactly.
She's like
she
ringing
up
a bell.
On that fucking bell.
Yeah,
Johnny's son has to go save her.
Yeah, exactly.
Johnny was the bad guy.
Johnny was the bad guy. Daniel's son has to go save her. But yeah, the whole movie is Mr. Miyagi not wanting to fight another old Japanese guy.
That's right.
Which is funny because everybody's like, oh my God, this fight. And if I was watching that, I'd be like, I mean, they're just old guys.
They're just old guys.
Like, they're super about fishing for mackerel in the morning.
That's right.
And maybe like growing lettuce heads.
Yes.
I don't want to see these two guys fight.
His whole thing is about trimming bonsai.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because they stole each other's girl.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, like, that only tracks when you're a fucking kid.
Exactly. I feel
when
like
when you're in your 60s, I don't want to see these two guys fight anymore.
Right.
Like,
well, and
I'm
also,
past that.
I feel like at this point, I mean, at this point in my, I'm not in my 60s. At this point in my life,
no, you're 52.
Exactly. I'm 52. I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah.
And as a 52-year-old, I can say that the people that I had romantic
inclinations or whatever.
Yeah. Right. And like kind of, I have no ill will towards the dude, you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like I have no
that
ill
stole
will
your
towards
girl
the exactly
45
years ago. I can't even imagine in your 60s you're like.
But that's kind of the thing, right? Like Miyagi
stole, doesn't care.
Does Miyagi stole the other guy's?
Well, Miyagi leaves, but he did seduce his girl.
It's
a whole thing.
Miyagi doesn't care, but the other guy cares
way too much.
Well,
it's supposed
Japan.
To be like a Japanese thing, even though they definitely shot this movie in Hawaii.
Yeah, clearly it's Hawaii. Yeah. There's way too many palm trees.
There's so many palm trees.
Yeah. It's still a fun movie.
And you also know it's not Japan because Godzilla nor Gundams show up at
There are
any
no
point.
Gundams in
There's
this
no
movie.
Gundams. There's no Godzilla. There's no samurai. No ninjas.
No A-bombs. No A-bombs anywhere
exactly.
in this. No sushi.
No Ultraman.
There's no Ultraman.
No Ultraman.
No Power Rangers.
No fucking Atomic Boy. What the fuck? Astro Boy.
No Astro Boy. No There's Astro, no Astro Boy. Boy in this. Yeah. Yeah. No Power Rangers. None of that stuff.
Yeah.
They're just hanging out in Hawaii. But it's still from it. Also though, I do have to give credit where credit is due, that they took the one scene from the first one that Paul Morita is nominated for best supporting actor.
Oh, it's really good. Yeah,
about him talking about his wife in Japan.
Yeah,
and they made a whole fucking movie about that, which
Here's
is pretty
the thing.
Cool.
He's not talking about his wife in Japan. He's talking about his wife in America.
He's talking about his wife. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Never mind then.
Yeah.
Scratch it. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind then. But they took the Miyagi.
The whole thing was
the dramatic
Miyagi really
stuff.
Good. Exactly.
Yeah, the dramatic Miyagi stuff in the main movie around that.
So
when you could have just made
You could have just
three.
Made another bully.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or just like he's moving on to the Nationals now.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Which is the classic way to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Shonen Jump way to go, right? You mm-hmm. beat the one guy, and now the next guy comes along, and he's even tougher.
And then you
got to team up with the last guy that you beat to learn how to be even better.
And you got to do that over and over and over.
Over and over again. Yeah. Then you just power up and training sequence, power up, fight again.
Power up hell.
Yep.
Also, spoiler alert, they never get to fight. Because of the typhoon or whatever.
Well, no, he fights that one, dude.
No, like Miyagi and the
Oh,
and
yeah,
the old
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Miyagi
yeah,
and the old dude never
matter.
Get to fight.
They never get fight. It doesn't matter.
And that's the whole buildup of the whole fucking movie is, are they going to fight? Are they going to fight?
Good point.
Yeah,
Good
they
point.
Never get to fight. But they do save the old man from being trapped.
And then
they
have that like begrudging, okay.
Yeah, and then the bully kid, which is the old man's grandson, he runs off into the fucking
exactly.
typhoon.
Exactly, he's a fucking madman.
Yeah.
Danielson has to eventually beat him.
Yeah, exactly.
With karate.
With karate.
Speaking of fighting, Rocky Part 3,
oh
this
my
being
God.
The third in the greatest franchise ever? I'm going to say yes, actually.
By far has the best name ever, Clubber Lane.
I mean, Clubber Lang, yeah, no, but...
His name is Clubber.
His name is Clubber Lang. It's amazing. So, the Rocky franchise, let's put Rocky 3 aside for just 1 second. We'll come back to you, Rocky 3, we love you.
All right.
Rocky 3 to the side for just 1 second. Rocky, the franchise, has 8 movies.
You counting Creeds in that thing?
I'm counting Creeds even. All right. So, we're counting, even if you count the Creeds.
Yeah.
So, Rocky, 8 movies. The very best of them is Rocky, obviously, which is an Academy Award winning movie, and it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
The very worst of them was Rocky V, which is still not that bad.
Yeah.
Most of them...
I would say Rocky IV, but anyway.
Rocky IV is not that great either.
We talked about this.
So Rocky IV and Rocky V, not that great. But for the most part, all the Rocky movies good, right? Even Rocky IV and Rocky V, you would still say, not bad.
Not bad. Not,
not bad.
Bad,
right?
Yeah.
Star Wars, they have 3 good ones. The rest,
they're right.
You know?
Yeah.
Star Trek, they got like 3 good ones, 4 good ones, something like that. The rest, James Bond, kind of up and down.
No, James Bond has like 42 movies.
That's true. James Bond has like 42 movies.
So at the very least, there's 10 good James Bond movies.
That's true, but there's also at least 10 bad ones.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're talking about like...
I'm just saying consistency.
If you're playing the numbers.
If you're just saying all of them being good.
Or all of them being like good enough.
Good enough, right. What else are you putting up that? Saws? You know, fuck
that. All the Saws?
Yeah. Not, obviously not. Halloweens? There's a lot of shit in
Halloween. Anything that goes that far, like anything that goes
beyond
movies?
I'm gonna say 4 or above.
4 or above,
nothing touches Rocky.
So 4 is good enough.
Sure.
Mad Max,
god damn you.
You should have said over 4.
I should have said over 4. Mad Max, pretty fucking untouchable.
Yeah,
so
Mad
good.
Max,
they're fucking great.
Even Thunderdome's pretty good.
Yeah, even Thunderdome's pretty good.
Yeah. No, if you go like that long stretch of a character and that to keep that good, that consistency, it's pretty untouchable. I mean, I feel like James Bond is probably the closest thing you have to that.
Although the thing about James Bond is there's been like 8 James Bonds. There's only one fucking
there's
Rocky.
There's only one Rocky, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's fucking Sly Stallone,
it's
the greatest actor
thing.
That's ever lived.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, Rocky 3.
Rocky 3. Clubber Lang.
No, I do think that there's a point to be made on that. That most of them are really good.
Most of them are really good. Even the bad ones are not that bad.
So come at us with what's better than this.
Yeah, please do. Because
when you get
I will
to
say
a number,
again, Rocky 5, Rocky V, clearly the worst Rocky movie by a long shot.
Yeah.
Rocky V, not that bad a movie.
Go
pretty
back
good.
And watch it.
Pretty not good
that,
movie.
Not that bad, yeah.
Pretty good. But if they got anyone else to play the Tommy Gunn character.
And his son.
And his son. Yeah. Right. If they got real actors instead of a shitty boxer and Sly Stallone's actual son to play those roles, pretty good movie.
It's a much better movie. Yeah. Yeah, no, come at us. Give us your ideas of what's a better franchise.
I'm just saying Rocky's the greatest franchise of all time.
Because Rocky goes so many movies in, I'm going to say more than four.
Because so at least five or more.
Because Mission Impossible, so what about that?
Oh, that's a good point, too, actually. All of them are really good.
Fast and Furious, what about that?
There's some bad ones in there.
Is Tokyo Drift worse than five?
Yes.
All right.
Also, so is the second one.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, we go so deep in.
That's true. Now, how do you even count the Marvel Universe?
Exactly. Where do we put the Marvel Universe? Exactly.
Fair enough.
Anyway, let's talk about Rocky III.
It's better than anything in the Marvel Universe, first of all. Because Clubber Lang and fucking Rocky Balboa, he has to train with Apollo Creed, who was his greatest enemy. Actually, we just talked about classic shonen fucking anime tropes.
Yeah, it's
the
true.
Fact that he trains with his greatest enemy to become even stronger is the most fucking anime shit that I have ever animated.
Beat him in the first one. He beats in the second one.
I mean, he really beats in the first one.
He makes it.
He makes it. He goes the distance.
But you get, they're like, what's bigger and crazier than a crazy big black guy?
An even crazier, bigger guy.
This also was, if you know who Mr. T is, this is Mr. T's
this is
breakout
what made
performance.
Mr. T, no A-team before this.
No A-team before this. Stallone finds him as a bouncer.
He's a fucking bouncer.
In a fucking club. Or in a show, right? They did like a show thing.
Yeah, but like he was originally bouncers. A bouncer. Yeah.
They did a thing about bouncers. It was like a 60 Minutes type of deal or something like that.
And he gives him the pity of the fool.
And he gives him a pity of the fool, which
and
is
that
his
becomes
whole
his whole
line.
Fucking thing.
His whole career is Stallone. Yeah. His whole career is I Pity the Fool, and it comes from this fucking movie.
That's right.
And in this movie, he's fucking great. All he does is show up and berate Rocky.
Dies, dude. And he threatens to fuck his wife.
He berates him and so hard that Mickey dies.
Yeah, he berates Mickey so hard.
That he dies of a heart attack. Yeah. And then he has to beat him after that. Hulk Hogan is in this.
Hulk Hogan, Thunderlips.
His name is Thunderlips.
Which is fucking crazy, dude.
The most popular of all the wrestling characters.
The most popular wrestler in the history of the world. Yeah.
And they gave him the name of Thunderlips.
I would say he might still be the most popular wrestler of all time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's up there. He's at least in the top three.
I think...
Him, The Rock, and Stone Cold, right?
I feel
Undertaker,
like...
Undertaker, that's the four.
For sure, The Rock and him vied for the top spot.
Oh, for sure. Those are the top two.
I do... My generation-wise, I do think Hulk Hogan is still...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we grew up with him.
Yeah,
he was fucking Mr. Nanny.
And he was the first one.
Yeah.
He was the first one to become that big of a superstar.
Yeah, he had his own show. He had a cool boat.
Yeah, he had the
Paradise
boat.
Island, something boat. Like that.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It was on TNT and shit.
But anyway, you could buy that shirt that you could rip off of your
fuck.
He was the first one that did
he
that.
He ripped
shit.
Off his shirt.
Every match, you rip off his shirt.
Every fucking match, he ripped off his goddamn shirt.
He would fight an Iraqi dude
also,
for you.
It's true.
He
there
would
was
fight
a lot
a
of
giants for you.
That's true. I do love that back then it was just like, who's the villain? I don't know, some foreigner.
Yeah, exactly.
Some fucking foreign bullshit.
And then we got the him and Macho Man thing where it's like, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy?
Yeah, you never knew.
They're fighting for one lady.
They're
Macho Man is a
giant,
good guy,
though.
But in this one, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can't beat that shit.
No, you can't. And also...
Another giant was fucking so... He was a giant.
He was
so
a
Bionic
Commando.
He picked him up.
It was Suburban Commando. He was a Suburban Commando. He was Mr. Nanny.
Mr.
And he
Nanny.
Was also No Holds Barred.
Oh, No Holds Barred is great. So Hulk Hogan in this. I love Thunderlips. And the fact that the whole premise of the bit is that wrestling is 100% real and he will kill you because he is 7 foot tall.
It is also cool to think about that.
Back then, the bit was so real.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
No, they do it for charity in the movie.
Right. But it's but I'm just saying, like, back then, you couldn't even imply that wrestling was fake.
Yeah. Like, no, Hulk Hogan's a real fucking giant guy who will
destroy
you.
And he will destroy you with his giant muscles.
He's going to fight the number one fucking champion.
The heavyweight champion. He's going to throw him around.
You're telling me that the heavyweight champion doesn't break your jaw in 14 places in one fucking punch. Yeah. Although we saw that UFC, we've seen some UFC boxing crossovers.
That's true.
Turns out there's a lot more dancing and boxing and running away than we ever thought.
That's
one of the reasons why I like the Rocky movies, just because they happened before running away was a fucking
cool
power
thing.
Move.
Yeah. It wasn't. Yeah, exactly.
You could win a match. Now you can win matches from running away.
Distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay distance, tap a few times.
And points. I get the point system, but goddamn, I missed Mike Tyson killing a guy almost.
That's right.
4 seconds into a match with one punch.
Exactly.
Like, Jesus Christ, that guy's a fucking machine.
Yeah, which is Tyson actually would have been good in MMA because one punch.
He was a one-punch fucking machine.
One punch, you're down. You're done.
Yeah.
You're fucking done forever.
Yeah, go back and watch some of that shit. It's crazy. Yeah. And I miss big heavyweight fights. And this movie is ripe full of them. All the Rocky ones are.
Well, all the Rocky movies is just toe-to-toe, completely unrealistic, beat the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, I know Muhammad Ali was already a big blowhard and stuff like that at the time, but it's still like he takes it to another level when he's like, I'm gonna fuck your wife.
Yeah.
Fuck your stupid statue. Yeah. I'm gonna fuck your wife. Yeah. And then Paulie's like, I'm gonna bet some money on this shit.
Ah, fucking Paulie. What a piece of Paulie's shit that
like,
guy
I'm drinking
is.
Some bottles and maybe I hit my sister. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah. He definitely hit his sister more than once.
God, sucks.
What an asshole.
the real bad guy. We've talked about this plenty of times. The real bad guy in the Rocky universe.
It's so
fucking
so
Paulie.
Bad. So bad. So we're gonna wrap up today's episode with a Robin Williams classic.
Oh, yeah.
It's Good Morning Vietnam.
This is a movie that made you think that the Vietnam War was actually pretty rad.
Yeah, pretty rad, pretty hilarious.
You were listening to a lot of rock music
until
at the time.
The last, like, 15 minutes of the movie where you're like, oh, sad.
Yeah, there's guys dying
sad
out
times.
There.
Sad times, actually.
Also, when you do the smallest amount of research, you find out that the guy that this is really based on, super conservative, like, not a very fun guy.
I don't know what you're talking about. That sounds very fun to me.
Yeah. Look it up. It's kind of, I don't know. But anyway, Robin Williams, they put him in front of a microphone just like they do every movie that he has ever made.
I mean, not every movie. I mean, I'm sure for fucking...
Maybe the Fisher King.
Yeah, exactly. Or
Goodwill Hunting.
Goodwill Hunting. I was also going to say the one he did with Chris Nolan. Probably wasn't a lot of just riff it up.
Insomnia.
Insomnia, yeah.
The one he's a serial killer. Maybe
or the one,
one.
The
or one hour
photo, yeah, where he's also a killer.
They didn't put him in front of a microphone, but that's just...
I mean, they did put him in front of a microphone, but instead of saying, hey, make an hour and a half of funny jokes, they were like, hey, be an incredibly sad and scary person. And he's like, that's what I am in real life.
I feel like Robin Williams went in to talk to an executive, and then the film executive is like, what are we going to do next? What's the next movie? And Robin Williams is like, I don't know, I kind of feel like hanging myself from a doorknob. And they're like, let's make you a serial killer.
And he's like, I'm feeling pretty good. Okay, what about a movie where you're a lady and you do a lot of jokes?
He's like, yeah,
I'm into it. I'm doing cocaine right now, so
yeah I'm into it. And then the next one, he's like, you know what? I kind of feel like jumping off the building. And like, well, let's the 1 hour photo.
Yeah,
I got the screenplay right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What if you hunt down? I mean, look, he's a fucking national treasure.
Also,
I love everything he's ever done.
Yes. Also, this movie is pretty fun.
This movie is very fun.
It's a very fun movie. It's got one of the best soundtracks that I've ever heard.
It's a great soundtrack. He's amazing in it, first of all. Like, Robin Williams, obviously he's funny.
Yeah.
Obviously he's crazy. Obviously he can do improv. He's also one of the best dramatic actors I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
Yeah, it turns out.
Yeah.
He's just a fucking amazing actor all the way around.
All the way around. And the fact that he can whiplash between, hey, I'm going to do 20 minutes of just bits, to I'm going to deliver the most powerful performance about the death of a person I cared about that you've ever seen. And I'm going to do that all in the span of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a fucking fucking incredible.
Yeah, there's a great scene where he witnesses that bombing and he goes in and he's like, I want to talk about the bombing. And they're like, you can't talk about the bombing. And then he like goes in there and talks about the bombing.
Obviously, kind of like a funny way. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fun movie. It's also, I think in this episode, me and Emma talk a lot about being in Vietnam and how crazy it is. Oh, that's right, because
you went. Yeah.
Yeah, because how crazy it is to think about shit from their perspective and stuff like that.
Right. We're not the good guys.
But Robin Williams has a great Robin Williams performance. I think the movie itself is not the greatest movie without Robin Williams, obviously.
Oh, no, this movie does not work without
him. This movie's okay. It's all right. It's kind of by the numbers a little bit on stuff.
He saves the movie.
But he saves the movie so much. And by the end, when you're just like watching, looking at him cheer up soldiers when he gets fired and all that stuff.
But he's sad inside.
Yeah, he's a little sad inside.
Yeah.
As opposed to Miss Doubtfire, where they just put him in the fucking dress. Also, he's kind of a shitty person to Miss Doubtfire.
I don't know if you remember this, but he wears a dress, Francisco, like a lady would.
He's the worst husband that you could possibly ever want. He's not a very good father.
Francisco, I will remind you again. Wears a dress and an old lady makeup. And talks about sausages and mouths.
He does talk a lot in a British accent.
In a British accent, yeah.
And he gets into so many romantic misunderstandings.
That's true.
Because
he has two meetings at the same time at the same restaurant.
And he does not cancel either of them.
I don't know if you remember how good this very good movie is.
He could have at any point been like, I got gout or something. I can't come to your fucking birthday party or whatever. No. It's an old maid lady. Like, you can't come to the birthday party.
I mean, he didn't want to disappoint the children because they were his children. Because they were his
kids and he loved them so much.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that he was just the worst of all dads.
He was, but also his wife was a stone cold bitch.
Sally Field?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Also, she makes the worst faces in this fucking movie. She can't fucking smile. Sally Field, by this point...
It's a bad Sally Field movie.
Sally Field has lost...
So much Botox.
Sally Field lost the ability to smile by this movie.
I mean, I think and the it wasn't minute... Botox, I, mean, it was I think just the minute like she broke up with Burt Reynolds, really.
Yeah, no. The Burt Reynolds breakup caused
hurt
everybody. Yeah.
It hurt America. It hurt Burt. It hurt Sally. It destroyed Burt Reynolds. America. And that's what really matters.
It wasn't until Boogie Nights that he came back and immediately wrecked it with the fucking striptease movie.
That's true.
Where and then after that.
The same but shittier version of his Boogie Nights character.
And then, you know, all those movies you remember him making after those movies? Remember those movies?
Yeah, I remember all those movies.
Yeah, like, all of the Burt Reynolds movies after striptease. That's the one. That's the one I'm talking about. Anyway, Burt Reynolds.
So that's the end of the podcast. We're going to be back next week as we continue our countdown to glory and acceptance of the end.
To the final four.
Until then, please subscribe, tell your friends.
Yeah, follow us on podcast. Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, get this podcast up in the rankings. Give us some reviews.
Send us some emails, too.
Emails, yeah.
It's been a while since we got an email. Send us some emails.
Yeah. Australia, we know you're listening.
Yeah, everybody. We talked about a better franchise than Rocky. Bring that shit up.
You're not going to find one, but let us know.
Let's hear.
Until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.